Gentlemen, our first case for argument this morning is Kaufman against the Indianapolis Fire Department. Mr. Story.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Tay Story, and I represent the appellant, Tanya Kaufman. Private Kaufman is a well-educated woman whose lifelong dream was to serve the public. She chose to be a firefighter, naively believing that here in the 21st century, she could work in a harassment-free environment. She worked successfully for over 2 years at various fire stations, serving as a substitute firefighter before she ran into a buzzsaw of hostility and harassment, merely because she is a short woman in a male-dominated fire department.
What evidence, Mr. Stewart, can you point to that the driving evaluations and the fitness for duty examinations occurred because Ms. Kaufman is female?
Well, it's circumstantial evidence, Your Honor. There are at least two pieces of circumstantial evidence that we would point to. First of all, Private Kaufman proffered evidence that, in fact, the two complaining male co-workers had not been riding with her on the days that they allegedly felt apprehensive about her driving position. And secondly, the vehicle in question could not have posed a danger to either the driver or the passenger because there was a bench seat in that particular vehicle, and the bench seat could not go forward far enough so as to place either the driver or the passenger at risk. And the reason that is so is there was a computer post in that vehicle that prevented the bench seat from going that far forward. And finally, there was no airbag that was one of the causes of concern for Lieutenant Hoyt. There was no airbag in that particular vehicle that he complained of.
She is 5 feet tall with shoes. Is that correct?
Depending on the size shoes she wears, about 5 foot, maybe a little over.
What heel would she be wearing to make it to 5 feet?
That I'm not sure of, Your Honor.
Why isn't there a precise height in the record?
That I don't recall, Your Honor, but I believe that a precise height.
We have this problem repeatedly, that lawyers do not seem to have any sense for precise measurements.
I apologize for that, Your Honor.
What evidence is there that Ms. Kaufman is a qualified individual with a disability? Is she required to demonstrate as much to make out a claim based on an unauthorized medical inquiry or examination under the ADA?
Well, we argue that there is no requirement that she or anybody show that she is a QID. And, in fact, the ADA that proscribes a qualified individual with a disability.
Please use normal words rather than acronyms known only to you.
Yes, Your Honor. We believe that there is no requirement, as relates to this particular section of the ADA, that an employee be a qualified individual with a disability. And, in fact, that particular section of the statute doesn't even mention that an employee has to be a qualified individual with a disability.
It merely states, being a qualified individual with a disability is ordinarily the prerequisite for a successful ADA claim, is it not?
Not as pertains to this particular section. This particular section prohibits an employer from ordering somebody to undergo a medical examination unless it is job-related and consistent with business necessity.
Well, I mean, the reason that I ask is that by her own account, she does not, in fact, have a disability.
That's correct, Your Honor.
That leaves open the possibility, of course, that the fire department regarded her as having a disability. And the problem is that she herself has suggested that the defendants didn't actually believe she was disabled. Rather, you know, that they were motivated by gender bias. And I'm, you know, that was the impact or import, if you can call it an import, of my first question.
Well, it goes something like this, Your Honor. They used every tool in the book, in their arsenal, to harass her. And one of those weapons was General Order 2.04, that within the sole discretion of the fire chief, the fire chief could refer or order a firefighter to undergo a psychological evaluation. And we believe that that is proscribed or prohibited by the ADA, in that you can only refer, an employer can only refer somebody to a medical examination if it is job-related and consistent with business necessity.
But do you have any evidence at all suggesting that the three firefighters, EMS, emergency...
Are you talking about the three?
I'm talking about Mr. Robinson and Firefighter Black and Lieutenant Rumpel. Do you have any evidence at all that suggests that they had an ulterior motive for memorializing their concerns about her in the emails that they sent? And if you do, what do you think their motive was? Because the emails themselves, it seems to me, simply concern, well, they express concern for her well-being.
Well, these emails were contrived, Your Honor. And if you look at the timeline, on April 10th of 2004, the fire chief, who is the top dog, suggested that superior officers could recommend firefighters for psych evals. Well, because this is a paramilitary organization, when the top dog speaks, everybody reacts. It's not like in a regular civilian setting, okay? And so consequently, when subordinates perceive that a superior officer wants some certain action taken, they react. And that's what happened here.
You think it had nothing at all to do with the recent suicides of two of the firefighters, that perhaps, the chief and those under him were more sensitive?
Well, Your Honor, in order to correct that part of the record, those suicides Private Kaufman had information that those suicides, and in fact, were not temporally connected to Lieutenant Robinson's email.
What does that
because
mean?
Those, Your Honor?
What does temporally connected mean?
It means close in time.
Well, how distant in time was it?
2 years. Those suicides had happened in 2002, not in 2004.
There was some suicide wave in 2002, sunspots or something making people committing suicide. So we don't have to worry anymore. Look, what kind of vehicles does she drive for her job?
The vehicle in question that is like an SUV.
And what is its purpose?
Its purpose is primarily to get officers and the battalion chief or the fire chief to the fire site.
So she's driving people to the fire? Driving firemen to the fire?
Well, driving primarily officers to the fire.
What do you mean officers? Firemen? For what?
Well, captains and the fire chief. In other words, the person in, responsible to direct the operations at the fire site.
So she's driving to a fire. Now, presumably she drives fast, right? Don't these people go...
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, you have to be a good driver to be able to drive, you know, an emergency vehicle.
And she was. Or she is. And that is what the core of this harassment complaint.
This is being a fireman, it's a high-pressure job. What would be wrong if a fire department decided that it wanted everybody to have a psychological examination every few years? Wouldn't that be perfectly reasonable?
Well, it's reasonable at the outset, and that's why they have pre-employment psych evals.
No, I'm not talking about at the outset. I'm saying periodically. People's mental conditions change. What's wrong with having it, you know, every 2 years or something?
Well, that's a blanket application that is proscribed by the ADA.
What are you talking about, blanket application? If it's reasonable, it's reasonable. Why isn't it reasonable? Pilots have to have annual physicals.
Well, Your Honor, I would argue
don't
that...
Don't they, or is that illegal, on your view?
I would argue that there has to be some sort
of... Answer my question. Do you think it's illegal for airlines to require their pilots to have an annual physical?
Under the ADA, I do, Your Honor.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You can't believe that.
Which section of the ADA do you think makes it illegal to have airline pilots have an annual physical exam?
The same section that prohibits...
Cite me a section. What section?
11-12-11-D-4.
Right.
To the best of my recollection, Your Honor. And that's the same section that is at issue here. What did the fire department do to Tanya Kaufman? They used every weapon in their arsenal to harass her. They ordered her to undergo a driver seating evaluation. After that, they ordered her to undergo driving skills evaluation, not one, but two of them, even though she passed the first one. And then after that, they started criticizing her paramedic skills. And then after that, they ordered her to undergo not one, not two, not three, but four different psychological evaluations. And perhaps the most egregious form of harassment is that they ordered her to undergo psychotherapy, even though she didn't need it.
There is, by the way, no such section of the ADA. I've now looked it up.
Are you thinking of section 12112?
Yes, Your Honor. Stand corrected.
12112, no subsection?
I believe it's subsection D4. And that speaks to...
D4, capital A.
That's the subsection that speaks to whether or not an employer, under what circumstances an employer may order an employee to undergo a medical examination. If this court holds that public safety departments can order psych evals on the mere subjective opinion of a layperson that an employee appears withdrawn every time an employee is having a bad day because of a death in the family...
They ask these firemen, what do you want to call them, to have a physical examination? Not her, but the ones who actually fight fires. But that be unreasonable too?
It would be unreasonable if there's no basis to order them to undergo such an examination.
But, you know, the statute that you've cited states pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, that an employer may make disability-related inquiries and require medical examinations if they're job-related and consistent with business necessity. If an employer believes, you know, that a medical condition will impair the essential functions of the job, and why wouldn't that be why wouldn't that encompass what occurred here? Well, the essential function of her job was to drive this SUV with all of these important firefighters to fires.
Well, Your Honor, I see that my time is up. If the court would permit me to answer that question.
Please.
I think we're mixing up the driving skills evaluation with the psych evals. Okay. First of all, there was no reason other than a couple of coworkers who were male who complained that they didn't feel safe with her driving, but yet she stated in her affidavit that they weren't even there with her, so they were in no position to evaluate her driving. But that certainly is not a reason to force her to undergo the psych evals, that is, the medical examinations that is proscribed by Section 12112, whatever it is.
It's certainly not proscribed. They're just conditions attached.
I would agree, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Will.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Alexander Will, and I represent the Indianapolis Fire Department. Plaintiff's Title VII claims fail because
so how tall is she?
Well, according to the record, which is all the evidence we have before us, she's 5 foot with shoes on, and that's your...
Pardon? I'm sorry.
According to the record, which is, again, all the evidence that has been presented at this point, 5 foot with shoes on.
Yeah. In other words, we don't know if they're flats or if they're Manilow Blahniks that are 5 feet.
I don't understand
that is correct,
why
Judge.
Inches
the record
tall.
Should not have such an obviously significant fact in it.
I understand that as well, Judge, and it's disconcerting, I think, in part because we're talking about objective distances here. In a vehicle, in a safety vehicle, there are set distances between the pedals and the back of the seat, between the front of the seat and the pedals, between the steering wheel and the person in the seat. So I would agree that I think the set distances are important.
What objective evidence did you possess that called her fitness for duty into question? Because the emails from the three gentlemen don't suggest that she was in any way incapable of performing her job, do they?
Actually, I respectfully disagree with the court. I think they do just that. Lieutenant Robinson's initial email expressed concern, and it's identified in the supplement, the appendix of the appellee. Specifically cites concerns that she was had an inability to make even simple decisions while on medic runs. In a public safety context, with someone that is a paramedic and is educated in making very quick decisions that involve the immediate health of an individual, I would think that the ability to make decisions is absolutely a condition of fitness for duty. And so he did express a very real concern. And that combined with the evidence presented that she was quiet, withdrawn, alone, not interacting with other firefighters, was of a very real concern, not only to Lieutenant Robinson, but after he expressed his concerns to Chief Rodez, Chief Rodez noticed what was a change in her mental attitude, which this court noted in the appellant's argument that a change in status should certainly be a concern for a fire department with public safety officers. And given the atmosphere that this took place, I think it bears noting a clarification of the record. Mr. Sturry pointed out that the suicides were alleged to have occurred in 2002. Again, the appellate record is very clear from Lieutenant Robinson's deposition that those, at least in his mind and his circumstance, those occurred in early 2004, a 3 or 4 month period before she was referred to her fitness for duty evaluation.
Tell me this. If we do not recognize a gender plus theory of discrimination under Title VII, how would a short female like Ms. Kaufman ever point to a similarly situated employee? Because men are genetically more likely to be taller, aren't they?
Genetically more likely, perhaps, but that does not mean that there are not 5 foot men. And
are you saying she can't make out a case unless she can find five foot tall men?
That's the argument here, Judge.
No,
yes.
That's requiring our
concern here is
similarity. That's not.
As you pointed out, Judge, that we're talking about objective distances. If we,
so well, you
if
don't we, even know how tall she is.
According
you
to her own,
about all this objectivity, but you don't know how tall she is.
Correct. We're doing it on her own admission, which can be used
earth
to, can be relied upon against
in
her.
The record?
I'm sorry, Judge.
Why isn't her height in the record?
I don't know the answer to that question, Judge. Our concern
is. Why is it enough to compare her with short men, right? Even if they're not exactly her height.
Well, I think in this circumstance, the court has pointed out that the similarly situated individual is kind of the crux here, and that the 5 foot individual, a 5 foot male. We stand by the argument that...
Look, we've never said similarly situated means identical.
But this court has said in similarly situated in all due respects. And in this circumstance...
Well, similar doesn't mean identical.
When we're talking about the ability of an individual to sit in the vehicle, to touch her back to the back of the chair, to reach the pedals... whether or not she's leveraging the steering wheel, which
but
are the concerns here.
Vehicles. So suppose you had a 5 foot two man, and he couldn't reach the pedals, and there are different vehicles here that he was driving. And suppose, nevertheless, the fire department treated him much more leniently than it treated her. Wouldn't that be permissible evidence?
That would be a different circumstance entirely.
I'm asking you a question.
But yes.
Would that be permissible?
But yes.
Right, so you don't have to have, you know, identically men of identical height to women.
What were
That's
the
fair.
Circumstances surrounding the accident in which Tim Combs, the short male firefighter, was involved? And does the record tell us how tall Tim Combs was?
Well, it doesn't, Judge, and I have some very serious concerns about that evidence because it was cited by the appellant plaintiff in her deposition, and her exact citation was that Mr. Combs was a short male firefighter without identifying his actual height.
Well, but we don't know her height either. I mean, what you're upset by Mr. Combs' height not being in the record?
And there are more concerns than just the lack of his height. The record in her deposition states that she had overheard him make statements that he had had an accident and that IFD, in turn, based on his own statements, had found him at fault. Well, there's a lot of evidence that's missing there. That's hearsay evidence, hearsay based on hearsay, if you consider what IFD said. On top of that, there is no record in from her statements, and certainly she had she conducted 10 depositions here. She deposed numerous people. She did not determine if there was any discipline of that officer. Maybe they skipped the driving evaluation and proceeded immediately to the discipline. The burden upon once the appellee in this case, once the defendant has established no issue of material fact, the burden under 56E, Rule 56E, shifts to her to establish one. And I don't believe that her citation does so. And more disturbing about that that citation in general is it wasn't argued at the trial court level. Under Rule 56.1, which this court has ruled on before, arguments and facts that are not presented to the trial court are forfeit. And she argues Mr. Combs for the very first time in her appellant's brief in the argument section. And I guess that's our real concern with that evidence is it hasn't been presented before. And even if it does, it's speculative based on inadmissible evidence.
Now, she insists she never rode with Lieutenant Hoyt in a squad car before October 18th, which was the date he emailed the chief and the assistant chief expressing his concerns about her driving abilities. If we credit her version of events that she was never driving with him before he sent the email, what justification is there for the subsequent driving evaluations?
Lieutenant Hoyt's recommendation wasn't the only recommendation. But more importantly, there's nothing in the recommendation itself or any of the recommendations that tie this to gender, as the court pointed out on the appellant's argument. There's nothing in the emails. There's nothing from the depositions that were taken.
Or what percentage of the staff of the fire department is female?
I don't know the answer to that question, Judge.
What?
I do know that there are almost 700 employees of the Indianapolis Fire Department. And there are female employees.
Well, but are they secretaries or are they firefighters or are they drivers or are they cooks? Are they makeup artists? What are they?
I do not know for sure, Judge, but I will say that there are. I would argue vehemently that there are female firefighters. Yes.
Well, there is a reference to a high-ranking one, isn't there? The one who investigated this.
Captain Beatty.
Right.
He's a firefighter, correct. And I apologize. I apologize. She is a female firefighter, and she did two evaluations of Ms. Kaufman's skills, not just of her driving skills, but also of her EMS skills, which bears pointing out they did find deficient in several respects. They did find some deficiencies in her EMS skills when she was reviewed in April, not the least of which was her unwillingness to cooperate with other people in the fire department. She would not express a need for help and then receive it in turn. She would not listen to other firefighters, such as Captain Beatty, who, again, is a female. She would not, and she was actually putting, I believe, a bloody glove near her mouth, which severely concerned Captain Beatty in a paramedic context when you have an individual who is dealing with what could be communicable diseases and bloodborne pathogens. And exposing herself to those situations.
Well, your opponent said that she drives, officers to the fire. So where do her paramedic activities fit in? Is that some separate part of her job or what?
I believe it's part and parcel with her job. She does drive people to fires, but paramedics are often required to be on scene to aid in people that are injured in fire. Fire department personnel are called to runs on medic runs as well as EMS technicians.
Understand. She drives the officers to the fire and parks her SUV, and then she starts doing paramedic stuff or what? Or is she traveling in an ambulance separately or driving the ambulance or what?
She was a firefighter for 2 years but once she became a medic, she passed her paramedic evaluation approximately the same time that plaintiff alleges the discrimination and harassment occurred.
My question, what exactly does she do?
Once she became a medic, also driving became part of her job, and I believe the record shows that.
Well, I'm completely lost. What does being a medic have to do with driving the officers to the fire?
I don't know that it bears directly on that. There are safety concerns in both aspects.
What does she do?
She does both drive and she works as a paramedic. I don't know
not
that it's
not at the same time.
Not maybe not at the same time. I imagine it would be difficult to treat patients.
Does she have another job, another some time in which she's just in an ambulance, or is she always driving?
I think she's driving to the fires and she's also a paramedic at the scene. Both.
You know, you cited the example in your brief of five male firefighters who were referred for fitness for duty evaluations. What were the reasons underlying each of those referrals? In other words, what I'm trying to get at is, were there any comparable examples of someone being referred on the basis of a perceived poor attitude?
Yes, Judge. There was an individual that was a male individual who expressed concern about, I believe, sullen, quiet, alone, and standoffish with his colleagues, his peers. And he was referred for fitness for duty evaluation, a psychological fitness for duty evaluation as a result. I believe that's in the record, the 56.1 statement of genuine issues of that there were no material fact at the trial court level. As to the gender-related issues here, we believe there is no evidence that's been presented tying the alleged harassment or discrimination directly to gender. She cites her own affidavit as a belief that this was because she was a short female. And under the direct method, her belief is not sufficient. She cites evidence that was not presented at the trial court record in the Evans affidavit along with the timing of all of this. It also bears, I should note, he did state in the record that there were four fitness for duty evaluations. There were not. There was one with several follow-ups. The original fitness for duty evaluation placed her on light duty. After the follow-up, there was concern that she might act out upon the job, act out while treating patients, and take out her frustrations on the fire department on the patients. Then she was removed from duty entirely.
Act out.
She's this quiet, sullen
what is that
person.
Who
there was Dr. Deanna Barthlow, the doctor that reviewed her status at the IPSP, the Public Safety Personnel Incorporated, detected anger from her. And the anger that she detected, she felt that she might be directed at the department, and she felt that might be redirected at patients. And it was identified in her statements, and that was the basis for removing her from duty. And subsequently...
Has the fire department ever had anyone go postal?
I don't believe so, off the top of my head, Judge. But they did have, again, individuals that committed suicide, and certainly in the year before this happened, according to the record.
Thank you very much.
There's no more questions. Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. Our next case for argument this morning is...